Father, thank you for this morning, this beautiful morning, Lord, for just being able to be here and come and worship you with freedom, Father, and speak to us what the Spirit has to say to the churches. Amen. Open your Bibles in Genesis chapter 12. It's amazing how Abraham was chosen from the land of Ur and actually was asked to leave his relatives and from living a life of idolatry, but God knew his heart, just like he knew the heart of David. He also knew the heart of Abraham. He knew the heart of Job, for the love of God. And he selected them. But Abraham also didn't know he was going to be tested for his faith, you know. But in chapter 12, we actually see when the Lord said to Abraham, get out of your country, from your family. I mean, that's hard to do. And from your father's house, to a land that I will show you. He doesn't even know where he's going to be. To a land where I'm going to show you. And this is the promises that he gave them. I will make you a great nation. I will bless you. That's a personal blessing right there. I'll make your name great. And you shall be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you. That's huge there. I will curse him who curses you. That God's talking, you know. And in you, all families of the earth shall be blessed. That's a huge promise right there. And then he also, in 13, he promises a land, you know, where it's going to be for his generation. Turn to Genesis chapter 22. We can just read from 1 to 5, but it says, now it came to pass after these things that God tested Abraham and said to him, Abraham, and he said, here I am. Then he said, take now your son, your only son Isaac, whom you love, and go to the land of Moriah and offer him there as a burnt offering, as one of the mountains, which I will tell you. He doesn't even know which mountain it is. Just like, leave your family, your relatives. He said, go to the mountain. And this is the part that I like. So Abraham rose early in the morning and saddled his donkey and took two of his young men with him, and Isaac and his son, and he split the wood. That's faith right there. He split the wood for the burnt offering and arose and went to the place in which God had told him. Then on the third day, twice 3 days, Abraham lifted his eyes and saw the place of far off. And Abraham said to his young men, stay here with the donkey. The lad and I will go yonder and worship. We will come back to you. We see God's promise to Abraham, and he obeys. He also gives him a son. He thought it was from Eliezer or from Hagar. And God says, no, you be your own seed. Your own seed. So God gives him all these promises. He also knows that it's not Eliezer, his servant. It's not Hagar's son. He sees that it's Isaac. So at that point, his faith is also much stronger. Suddenly he gets this call from God, Abraham, sacrifice your son for me. It was, wow, this is unusual. You just gave it to me, and now you want me to sacrifice him to you? And then God is also asking for a burnt offering. So the burnt offering, that means the consummation of the entire body with flames, with fire. You see what I'm saying? Because this is a general offering of devotion to God. Because we have also the burnt offering, the grain offering, the fellowship offering, the sin offering, and the guilt offering. And each one of them represents something. But in this case, the entire animal has to be burned with fire. Except that in the time of the Levites, the skin was for them. But the rest was for the Lord. And that's what the Lord was asking. So he knew that he had to kill his son. Now, that's a faith right there. So, and I kind of take these three things almost like what Christ, was suffering also at the cross. Christ suffering before the cross and at the cross and also at the resurrection, because you can see how Abraham by faith Christ by faith also came knowing that he's going to be resurrected by his father. Abraham also knew somehow that God is going to resurrect Isaac. Somehow. Do you know what I'm saying? So if you see in verse 5, look what it says in there. And Abraham said to his young men, stay here with the donkey. The lad and I will go yonder and worship. And here's the key here. We will come back to you. Do you know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. So we will come back to you. So in his heart, he knows that he has to come back. So I can see that three ways going through Mount Moriah, that he doesn't know where he's going, right? His kid got to be at least 20. I know that the Jewish believe that he's about 40, but I don't think so because he's only 15 years in between that, so it's a little less than that. But he was old enough to know what's going on. And this is not just a test for Abraham, but it's also a test for Isaac. Isaac will say, hey, I'm not dying. I can skip town right now. Did you know what I'm saying? It's not just Abraham's. Isaac knew what's going on. Isaac said, you got the knife. I got the wood. You got the fire. I don't see an animal. Something's missing here. 3 days they were walking. Because they don't have hotels in those days, so they have the little tents, I'm sure, or something to sleep on, and he's looking at the sky. Lord, you told me that my descendants will be as many as the stars. And now you're asking me to take his life, to offer him as a burnt offering. What am I going to tell Sarah when she asks me, where's my son? The next night, the same thing. Lord, am I supposed to be doing this? But he continued. In other words, he rose up early and did this. She's not like, man, I don't know if I should go or not. I don't know if I should do this or not. Is it real? Did that really? What did he tell Sarah? We're going to worship. We're going to sacrifice your son. He had faith. He was going that somehow the Lord is going to work this out. He didn't know how. But he went. Rose up early, chopped the wood up, put on Isaac's back, and here they went. And they got all the way up there. So, we don't know what he was suffering on those evenings, just like the Lord at that Gethsemane. He was praying, Lord, if it's not my will, but your will be done. So, he's basically doing the same thing. But the Calvary also, you can see Christ's picture right there. They were walking just like Christ was carrying his cross. Isaac was carrying his cross. Wood. Christ was carrying his wood than cross. The difference is, when he got to the top, the same mountain. Well, think about that. He got crucified. Isaac didn't. That's where the saying of the scapegoat in Leviticus come from. Isaac was the other picture of the scapegoat for us. We were supposed to die, but we didn't. But somebody had to die, and it's Christ. And Christ had to die. There wasn't an animal there for him not to be sacrificed. He had to be sacrificed. He was the lamb that was slain. Isaac was the scapegoat. We, in the same picture, were supposed to take the penalty, but we didn't. And it's amazing how, when he was ready to slay Isaac, God says, stop. Now I know that you trust me. Now how many of us can we do this? God will ask us to do. I mean, we think we got a little issue with our monthly bills, we're panicking. You know what I'm saying? Our busy bills, what am I going to do? If God can ask, you know, to sacrifice your son, what would you do? So, I can see the relief in Abraham's heart. And to even boost his confidence in God, 150%. that he is the God of, you know, Israel. That's his God. And he will come back with his son, just like he told the servant, I'll be back. Just the fulfillment of that promise that he made, not knowing in his faith, he will come back and he says, okay, we finish our burnt offering. We can head back home. It will be a different story. And I don't think we'll be sitting here. But that's God's plan for us. That one detail. Sometimes we forget the details in our lives. There's details in our lives that God wants us to work through. And sometimes we don't. We just, oh, it's just a detail. Like I tell people at work, every detail in our lives matters. We have, it's like a pie. We have a wedge of each detail in our lives. I always tell people, oh, my employees, I said, imagine if one detail in marriage you forget to do payroll. How would that affect the lives of everybody? Same thing in our Christian lives. Sometimes we don't think that those details matter. It does matter. Especially before the Lord. When he says it's sin, it is sin. When he says don't do it, don't do it. Let your yes be yes, let your no be no. And we have integrity and virtue towards other people. And that's what it requires of all of us. Not just a certain people in a certain position. I mean, the blood washed the sins away of everybody. So we are all in the same pool. So each requirement is for everybody, not just for individuals. So that's how details of life is so important, that we able to fulfill those details of life before him. So as we see the picture of how Abraham obeyed God in every detail in his life, you know, that's why he was recognized as the great man of faith. And Hebrews tells us that Abraham didn't know where he was going, but by faith he obeyed God. And it's amazing that the whole Bible now is written, all these pages of scripture, because of that man, Abraham, and all his descendants. So we got 66 books of the Bible. And then through that, the Messiah will come. The Davidic covenant will be also be established in the Millennium Kingdom. I was telling a lady, she was an Orthodox Jew, and I kind of knew going to her house that you're not supposed to shake her hand because that's what the Orthodox do. You don't shake the hands. They're not supposed to shake the hands of the husband either. So, or the father. That's, you know, that's in the Talmud. So, and I noticed a library of all the books of the Torah. I tell her I was studying about, you know, the Pentateuch. And I told her about the promises of God to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And I went all the way to David, all the way to the nation of Israel coming down. She was impressed. She said, are you a Jew? I said, no. I said, spiritually. That's what I told her. I'm a spiritual Jew. But I kind of wanted to give her more of the story of who Christ is. But not immediately. I didn't want her to shut me down. So I went all that, and when I explained about Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and Israel, and the promises of Joseph with the bones and everything, she was like, this guy knows something. So, and then I went to Adam and Eve and explained about the two animals that God had to slain to cover their sin. The blood, somebody has to die. So when I left there, I said, do you think Messiah had to die before he comes back again? That's how I left it. Why would he do that? Why would God ask Abraham to sacrifice his son? There's a map somewhere that leads to salvation. And we had to find out. So that's how I left it. And I said, I think Messiah had to die first before he comes back again. She goes, So, as we can see, I mean, the Jewish nation, the biggest Jewish nation right now is in New York. The biggest of all of them. There's all over in Europe, but the biggest is in Maryland and New York. It's amazing, isn't it? The plan of God. Every detail of the plan of God. And he will gather them, and he's going to gather them like that. And the amazing part of this is that God noticed how Abraham trusted him all the way from here and all the way to the end of his plan. He's going to be fulfilled because somebody trusted in him, like Abraham did. And now Messiah will come through that seed, which is Abraham. To me, that's amazing that one man can do that, and God will respect that man's decisions to do that. Just like Elijah asking for rain. We say, well, that was Elijah, he was a prophet. The Spirit of God just kind of came, it wasn't in him. Right now, the Holy Spirit is in us. We have a greater position than they did. And we still think that, well, how can God work in my life like this? See, we underestimate the power of God that is in us. He's in us. On David, that's why David said, always pray, do not depart your spirit from me. Because the spirit wasn't in David. It was just kind of residing on top of David, where David went. That's why he was out of fellowship. David's out of fellowship. But now, it's in us. That's why when we're out of fellowship, we take away ourselves from the Holy Spirit's work. Because God and sin cannot work together. We are the ones who stray away. But He's always there. He's always in us. And that's the beauty of fellowship. We're talking about repentance last year and fellowship. You can always come back to the cross. You can always come back to the foot of the cross. You can always go to the foot of the throne of God. Because guess what? He paid for everything. The sin is done away with. What matters right now is our relationship with Him. Are we in fellowship when we're worshiping? Is it just lips only? Is it coming from the heart? That's the thing. Sin is done away with. How are we worshiping the Lord? With our lips or with our heart? And that's why He really enjoys our worship, our praise that comes to Him through to study His work, His word, our offering, the things that we do, the things of our heart, how we think. Sometimes you want to do something for somebody, but you weren't able to do it, but your heart was there. He sees that, even though you didn't do it. But also our heart condemns us, because sometimes we know we're supposed to do it and we didn't do it. But once we do something for Him, He sees that. And I said, he writes it down, but He doesn't have to write it down because He knows. He writes it down for us, but He knows our heart. And I think once we come, we fully understand the heart of God through His Word, I think that's when we truly get God then. By not knowing this, we don't get God. We don't get what He's thinking. We don't get His truly motivation for us to save us. Why would He do that? Why would He be motivated to save us? Because of His great love and mercy. He loves us so much that He will send His Son to die for us, that we would be saved. The only requirement for us is to just believe in His Son. That's the only requirement He did. His Son already died on the cross. Before the foundation of the world, He was already slain. And it's amazing to me to even think that that happened. That His Son, Christ, was already slain before the foundation of the world. And then everything from now, the cross, and from now on, the future events that will happen. But He will see from here all the way to here with us in mind. To me, that's amazing. That a person will confess Christ and angels will be rejoicing all over the world. Why would He pay attention to that detail? But He does. Because glorifies Him. And I think it just rejoices our hearts when people really truly understand God's word and be able to practice it and use it and share it to others, because that's what He sent us is for. That's what we're here for. Just to continue. And like I told that, a Jewish lady, I said, it's amazing how the nation of Israel is supposed to witness to us, the Gentiles. And she kind of looked at me like, you know, I had two heads or something. And I said, you know, you're supposed to tell me how great Messiah is. What is he going to do? Instead of just keeping it just to Jewish people. And she goes, yeah, we've been noticing that lately. And I kind of, when I left in a happy note, when I left, that's when I told them about the Messiah's blood. Why would he kill those two animals? When we had to come back, it's Messiah's skin, but don't you think he died first before he come back as skin? And that's when she was like, She was like wondering, this guy has something. I was talking to her almost an hour. So hopefully something got through. In the beginning, you can tell that they're kind of obscure in Bible doctrine, you know, they're obscure in what the Bible says. But as soon as you open up some doors, they get it, they get the picture, but they don't really get who Messiah is. They're still waiting for the Messiah. And we talked about Bethlehem. I said, where's Bethlehem in the picture right now? Is it really going to happen? There's nothing that Bethlehem is showing right now. It's all Israel. It's all Israel. And she was wondering about that too. So I just hope that there's still something in her heart to seek more about. Being an Orthodox Jew, that's a little hard to do. But God talked to Abraham. He was an idolater. Leave your family, leave your relatives. Go to a place we're going to show you. And he did. It's the heart. It's not that difficult. It's just the heart. How is your heart towards somebody, towards God that is the creator? Do you really trust him? There's somebody beyond the stars. Yes, there is. You know, and that's what he saw. He knew there's somebody greater than his little gods. Then God will use him, speak to him, and fulfill his promise. And to the Messiah. And to the Davidic line. To me, that's amazing. To me, it's amazing. So I just hope that I just help you encourage just for us to continue trusting the Lord. Just to continue to just obey and trust the promises that he gives us. If you can take two or three or four of them and really trust it, it will make a difference in our lives. I think sometimes we don't believe God. We're like that little girl that 200 people were praying for rain and didn't rain, and then because it haven't rained for so long. It's a drought. And this little girl came with an umbrella. Only one girl, 6-year-old, came with an umbrella because she believed God. The rest were praying for rain. I think that's how we pray sometimes. Lord, I believe you, but I don't think it's going to happen. I'm asking this, but I don't think it's going to happen. I believe that you exist, but it's too difficult for you. That's how we pray sometimes. Not that little girl. They were praying for rain. She goes, if we're praying for rain, I better get my umbrella then. That's how we should pray. That their prayers are going to be answered. You know, and through that, God is going to be glorified because we believe in him by faith, just like Abraham did. Amen?